Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Pastor Vic's Nuggets of Truth. And in this episode today, we'll be examining another exchange. We've been talking about the relationship between faith and grace, or grace and faith, and how the concept of an exchange that took place at the cross of Calvary is just so important for us to completely embrace and understand. And today we're going to be talking about the fact that Jesus took our lost and homeless condition and he gave us an eternal home. Now, this truth is based upon the verse in John 14:2, where Jesus said, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you." Before we go there, let me remind you of the relationship between grace and faith. God offers the free gift. We describe that as grace, something that's unearned or undeserved. But it's made available by faith for every believer in Jesus Christ. Hebrews 11:1 states that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. In simple terms, faith makes something which is already available a present reality. That which is available is what God has provided by grace. Now, this reminds me of a story I heard many years ago. A wealthy Christian father promised his son a new car when he graduated from school. On graduation day, the son was filled with excitement, anticipating a new car. The son, it was expecting keys to a new car, but he was so shocked and angry when the father gave him a Bible instead. The son was so disappointed and upset at the gift of a Bible instead of a car that he left his father's house and refused to speak to his father for 10 years. The Bible sat on a shelf, unopened all of that time. And then one day, the young man, as he was moving things around on his bookshelf, discovered that the Bible had fallen to the floor. And as he bent down to pick up the Bible, an envelope fell out of the Bible. He opened the envelope to find a bank check made out to the car dealership for a brand new car. The young man broke down and he cried, now realizing that he always had what his father had promised, but the promise sat on a shelf, unopened, for 10 years. And that can be like us in so many ways. The promises of God are for us to embrace, and yet we don't open it because the key to opening is faith. You see, faith is believing what God the Father has said, which is grace, and then acting upon what was promised. All the promises of God are given to us by grace, but it's our faith which acts upon the promise keeper and makes it real. And that's an important point. Our faith is not in the promise alone, but our faith is in the promise keeper, and that's Jesus. In the last three episodes, we mentioned three promises made available by Jesus. And these particular promises, we're calling them exchanges, because that's a term that's used when we talk about scriptural covenants. Jesus took something from us and gave us something better. He gave us forgiveness for sin. He gave us life for death and heaven for hell. As I said earlier, we'll be looking at the truth that Jesus took our lost and homeless condition and gave us an eternal home. The key, of course, is John 14:2. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. In other words, we have a home in heaven. While we don't know a lot about heaven, we do know that it is a place of great joy, peace, and worship. God says in Revelation 21:4, "And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. Yet there shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away." Therefore, by faith, we believe that every good thing will be made available to us in heaven. Now, the verse just before John 14:2 says the following, Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, also believe in me. In other words, what Jesus was saying, don't worry about your future, simply trust him. Jesus then confirms that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one comes to the Father except through him. And we see that in John 14:6. No matter what your present situation is at right now, God has a plan for your future, and it's a good plan. It's a plan to prosper you. Now, you may be living in wealth and security right now, or you may be just getting by. Either way, Jesus promised to give you what you need. Too often, we worry about what we don't have instead of being grateful for what we do have. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus says in verses 25 through 34, "Therefore, I say to you, don't worry about your life, what you'll eat or what you'll drink, nor worry about your body, what you're going to put on it, your clothing. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing?" And then he gives us a couple of comparisons. "Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they?" As a matter of fact, which one of you can, by worry, can add one cubit or add to their height? So verse 28 says, "So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need these things." But here's the key here, though. It says in verse 33, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added to you. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." In other words, trouble, we will experience trouble in life. No one gets out of this life without experiencing trouble, disappointment, or discouragement. But the key is to seek him first, at the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You see, if we're seeking the kingdom, if we're seeking righteousness, being in a right position in God, then all the things that we seek, all the things that we need will be added to us. Remember, Jesus knew how to get by with what he needed instead of what he wanted. In Matthew 8:20, Jesus said, "Foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." Now, Jesus was saying this in the context of giving up everything to follow him. However, it also shows that Jesus didn't overly concern himself with the trappings of success in this life. Jesus didn't own homes, have a bigger bank account, or anything else that in his time would have indicated that he was very wealthy. However, he had the greatest treasure of all, and that was the peace of God that comes with the knowledge of God, and that surpasses all understanding. As someone once said, we think sometimes that poverty is only about being hungry, naked, and homeless. But the poverty of being unwanted, unloved, and uncared for is the greatest poverty. Through the great exchange, God, through Jesus Christ, has made you wanted, he's made you loved and cared for by the creator of the universe. Always remember that there's a mansion for you in heaven where there is joy, peace, and love. And all of this is true because Jesus gave you a home. I hope that encourages you this day. And I pray that you will have a blessed week and a blessed time until we get to meet again. And so until next time, again, God's richest blessings upon your life.